Welcome to Collaborating, the podcast series of the Collaborative for Business Development. Welcome back to Collaborating, the podcast that focuses on all things revenue, best and next practices in sales, marketing, and eliminating organizational obstacles to success. And this is a unique and different podcast for us in our young life as the Collaborating podcast. We are doing an interview today. Today we're talking with Kristen Luke, who is president and founder of Wealth Management Marketing. Wealth Management Marketing offers a full spectrum of marketing services for independent registered investment advisory firms, financial planning, and wealth management firms. Having Kristen's firm working for you is like having a marketing manager in a box. But I'll let her describe what she does. Kristen, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, your firm, your background?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me today. I'm really looking forward to being on your podcast. So my firm, we work with independent financial advisors to help them implement their marketing. We find that many advisors know what they want to be doing from a marketing standpoint and just don't have the capacity or the resources to market themselves. So we provide strategy and then the ongoing support to help clients market their business. So really, we are an outsourced marketing department for independent advisors. And we do everything from collateral to social media, which is what the topic is today.
Yes, and I did fail to mention that. The title of this podcast is Optimizing Social Media for Marketing. And so tell us a little bit more about your background. What did you do prior to founding Wealth Management Marketing?
Well, I was the director of marketing for a hybrid RIA broker-dealer in San Diego, which is where I'm based, and did that for 3 years and did a little bit of everything from a marketing standpoint, was involved with radio shows, workshops, client events, advertising. So pretty much anything you can think of in the either RIA or BD world from a marketing standpoint, I got to experience. So in October of 2008, I decided to start my own business, taking the knowledge that I had learned from being an internal marketing department or marketing person with a firm and applying that to other independent advisory firms. And then prior to that, I was able to get my MBA in marketing as well. And then I have a background, my undergraduate degree is in business economics. So it all kind of came together for this business here, all the experience and education.
And so since 2008, you've essentially had no private and personal life.
That's right. Anytime you start a business.
And get an MBA at the same time.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you start it at the beginning of a recession, that's always good timing as well. So it's been as any business is in the beginning, but it's worked out really well and things are going well. And now that the economy is hopefully turning around, I expect things to continue to go well. So, once you start your business, I don't think you can ever go back to working for somebody else. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah. We hear you on that. So we first became aware of Kristen by a couple of articles that she wrote for an industry publication on the topic of social media. And she really knows how to put these tools into effective use in implementing a marketing plan. But she also knows the importance of integrating social media with a well-considered overall plan, one that includes and considers an array of marketing tactics. And so we started working together in 2010, I believe it was, putting together a program wherein we would work with advisors and wealth managers on their overall marketing strategy and their positioning, the differentiators, answering what we like to call the so what question. Why should anyone consider me or work with me, given that there's 11,000 plus advisors out there? And then we would turn over the client to Kristen to actually put together and implement a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month tactical marketing plan and MarCom activity or set of activities. So it's a nice hand-in-glove relationship. But I will say for those of you listening that are not advisors, a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is broad in scope. It does carry across many different industries, These are more or less the best practices of social media and what to consider here in doing so, and really isn't just for the advisor marketplace. But maybe we could start with you telling us how your process works and how social media gets integrated into that.
Well, when we start working with a firm, the first thing we always do is a marketing plan, and we begin with a two-hour assessment where we learn all about the client's business and their preferences. So what they've done in the past, what they think they want to do in the future, who their client or target client is, what their preferences are as far as public speaking, writing. So we take all that information and we put together a plan. And depending on what their goals are, a lot of times we do integrate social media. And really, it's just because it just enhances any marketing strategy that you currently have. So, for example, if you are already networking, it's clear to me that you should also be on LinkedIn, because that is a way to connect with the people that you're networking with in the offline world, and then taking them and connecting with them in the online world.
Right.
And so to me, that's a no-brainer to be able to integrate that. We do come across clients who are very focused on education, and they like to educate their clients. They're not big into sales and networking. So then a lot of times social media plays into that, because they can write blogs or create videos or podcasts and then share that with their target market as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for social media, there really is something for everybody, whether you're a very social person, extroverted, and going out and meeting lots of people, there's a place for social media. Or if you're an introvert and you're really conservative about trying to sell your business, there's a place for you in social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really is an important part of any marketing strategy, though, I mean, you really do still need to diversify your marketing strategy so that it's not all around social media. I think mm-hmm. there still is a lot of value in face-to-face interaction. So it's a combination between taking sort of the traditional marketing and then integrating the new digital marketing into that.
I like your point about there is still room for face-to-face interaction. Being a lifelong salesperson, I'm glad to see we're not obsolete in that face-to-face selling and marketing work that we have to do.
I have to say, I've been to 3 events for my clients so far this year, and it's either been an event, they've all been social events, but they've been either for clients or for centers of influence or prospective clients, and they've all been, the turnout has been great. So even though social media is more important, people are still really enjoying that face-to-face interaction. In fact, I think even more so, you know, the more they interact with somebody online, the more they want to actually meet them in person and continue that relationship
mm-hmm.
in a more
mm-hmm.
meaningful way.
Yeah, that's a great point. I guess give us a range of the types of podcasts using LinkedIn. And so as you look at the most used, the most popular sites and aspects of social media, maybe we can talk about some of the pros and cons. And when I think about social media and some of the things we use and work with on clients as well are things like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, SlideShare, blogs. So what of these are you using and recommending? What are you seeing as some good uses? And then I guess what's hot and growing and what's maybe not doing so well or on the downslide?
Well, we recommend all of those sites and all those different social media tools out there. It depends on what the goal is. So Facebook obviously is the largest social networking site. So that to me is a site that I think most firms should be on. The reason for that is that there are hundreds of millions of people on Facebook, so it makes sense that any business should be there. So, you know, for a lot of people, it's a little bit intimidating to be on Facebook because they think, oh, I'm going to have to share all the details of my personal life. That's really not the case. You can utilize Facebook business pages to communicate a message on behalf of your company in a way that it doesn't expose your personal life. Now, the kinds of things you can share on there are articles that you like, articles you've written, newsletters, videos, podcasts, basically any information that you would want to share, you can share on Facebook. Some people will say, well, why would anybody like my Facebook page and want to follow it? Well, that is a concern, and I completely agree with that. So in those situations, I recommend that clients use a Facebook page for a topic. So, for example, if you were working with women, let's say, you could have a page just around women, something that's unique or relevant to them. Or if you're talking about, let's say, you know, college planning, you could do a page just on college planning. And then you can still share that same information out there, but in a way that it would draw more people than just coming to say, hey, I like your business. So there's different ways you can use Facebook. And because there's so many different people on Facebook and the demographic is so, there's such a wide range of demographics on there, it just makes sense for any business to be on Facebook, I think, at this point.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times people will tell me, well, my clients aren't on Facebook. You'd be surprised. I mean, the people I see now, there's a lot of grandparents on there now. I see people with all different levels of net worth on there. So I don't think it's fair to say anymore that only kids are on Facebook.
No, I would agree. The statistics, not just in the wealth management industry, but across the board, are showing a huge growth rate of, let's say, the 60 and over group and even the 50 and over group on all forms of social media. And I think one of the real benefits, be interested if you agree, about something like Facebook is that it tends to show, you don't want to get too casual, but it tends to show a more personal side or like a less business-oriented side of you, of your business, that kind of thing. I've seen a lot of businesses put their social outings up on it, and it, just gives a customer or potential client another view into that business.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it gives you a wider perspective on the types of people that you're doing business with, mm-hmm. whether or not you're personally involved in Facebook or if it's just your business. Just by sharing photos of what it's like at your business, it's a way to show a softer side of you.
Yes.
So there's plenty of brands out there that are just purely business, so they don't share any of that information. It's really up to you which way you want to go.
Right.
Yeah, so then there's Twitter. I think Twitter is a great networking tool for people who are looking to meet other people. It's like going to a cocktail party, I think, or a networking event. The thing about Twitter, though, is that you really have to be actively involved on a regular basis. If you're not tweeting and actively interacting with other people on Twitter, I would say, at least a few times a week, if not multiple times in a day, then you're not really going to see a lot of benefit. However, that being said, if you want to create a Twitter account just to put links and information out there to link back to your website, that's always going to help with search engine optimization. So even if nobody is following your tweets, just by putting it out your tweets out there on Twitter, it does have benefit all on its own. But the people I see that are most successful from Twitter are the ones that are really into it, and they're talking to other people on Twitter, and they're following hundreds or thousands of people and just interacting on a regular basis. The people that just push information out don't see as much success, though, like I said, there is still a benefit from it.
Right. Okay.
So if you love Twitter, I think you'll see a lot of results from it. But if you really have, if you're not that interested in it, you probably won't see any results from it.
Right, right.
And then LinkedIn, that's the one that I hear most people say that they're the biggest fan of. Obviously, it's the most professional of all the sites out there. So it's a way to network and interact without having to put your personal life out online. And some of the good things about it is just being able to research prospective clients, research centers of influence, but also to see, who do they know, who's in their network, and really get an understanding of the people in your network and who they know. And also it's becoming more and more of a way for people to do a search for a service provider. So if you're looking for an attorney or an accountant, you might go on LinkedIn, search for it, see who comes up, and then see who you know who knows that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to market your business. And again, I think another thing about LinkedIn that's wonderful is that if you are out and about meeting people on a regular basis and networking, that's a way to stay in touch. You can use the status updates to regularly send out information to your entire network. And the way I like to think about it is if you went to a networking event and you met somebody, and then the next day you sent them an email saying, thanks, it was great to meet you, love to follow up with you again, that'd pretty much be the end of your conversation for a while. You couldn't email them every single day. But with LinkedIn, if you are actively involved and you're posting things on your LinkedIn profile on a regular basis, then in theory, that person could be seeing messages from you on a daily basis. And that's completely acceptable. Whereas if you were to email them every day, it's not acceptable. They think you're a stalker. So it does, it allows you to stay in front of people on a more consistent, regular basis than you could in any other medium.
Right. Yeah, that's very, very, very good. Very good analogy there as to what the problem could potentially be. Although there's probably enough of that going on, and people do have to beware in general. But another thing that I like about LinkedIn these days, LinkedIn has done great work in upgrading the site to allow the integration of other social media sites. So now you can integrate your Twitter. You can tie in SlideShare, and we'll talk about that in a second. You can tie it in with, I think you could tie it in with Facebook and a whole host of other avenues that you maybe are otherwise more active in, but know that it will, that information will get over to LinkedIn. And as you said, I think one of the real powerful things is once you have that whole contact group in there to be able to either post an update and then have it go back out the other way to all those other social media sites, or to selectively select contacts and get a targeted message out to a group of people is quite powerful.
Well, and LinkedIn has done a good job recently of adding business profiles as well, because before it used to be just about individuals. So now businesses have an opportunity to showcase their firm and not just through the individuals. And on those profiles, you can add YouTube videos and integrate, you can integrate blog feeds. So it's allowing a lot of social media integration into those pages as well.
Exactly. That's right. I forgot. We've done that too. I forgot about that, the blog feeds as well as videos. So very, very good stuff.
And SlideShare, like you said, which is a social networking site that you can share presentations and videos. You can do videos, right? They used to be able to.
Yes.
So to share those on SlideShare, but we pretty much use SlideShare only to be able to integrate documents directly into LinkedIn, because that's where we see the most value. Because a LinkedIn profile by itself is a lot of text, but by using a site like SlideShare to integrate into LinkedIn, you can share videos and share documents. So if you have a brochure, like a digital brochure, that's a great way to bring it into your profile.
Or if there's a magazine
article about you that you've been recently that's been recently showcased, you can put a reprint of that in there. So it makes it more visual than LinkedIn normally is.
So that's interesting. Maybe I didn't know this. So I know you can, when you post an update in LinkedIn, you can put, you can also attach a URL for something going on somewhere else on the net. But are you saying, and I thought you could attach within LinkedIn a document or an image or something, but you can't do that? You have to really do that through SlideShare?
The business profiles, you can integrate images, and obviously you can integrate your headshot.
Right.
But in order to integrate, like, marketing collateral, anything like that, SlideShare or Google Documents, you can use that as well.
Right.
So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll use SlideShare to put up the brochure, you know, a company's brochure, and then we'll use Google Docs to showcase a video, like a YouTube video. So there's so many different applications that you can integrate that it allows you to make it much more interactive and visual.
Oh, that's great. And then to what degree, I know you yourself, you've been very active, and I love it, your blogs, you write some great stuff and always out there to see what you're writing. But what about blogs and blogging for people in business?
I am a huge fan of blogs, though I'm becoming more of a fan of videos as well. I try to talk to the business owners and ask, you know, are you more likely to do a public speaking event, or are you more likely to write? And depending on the answer, we'll usually go one way or the other. People that like to write generally don't like to be in front of people, and vice versa. So there are people that like both.
Right.
So a blog is a really good way to highlight your expertise. So anyone who's in social media really wants to take advantage of social media needs to be creating content of some sort to really show how they're different. So a blog's a good way of doing that. The thing is that you need to know about a blog is that you really should have an idea, a clear niche market in mind, or a strong message. Because if you're just out there and writing about generic topics, no one's going to pay attention. And because I work with advisors, you know, if you're writing about just general budgeting topics, it's not really going to be that interesting to people. But if you can find a niche market, like, let's say, again, college planning, and you're just writing about that every single week, you're going to be known as an expert in that particular topic. So that's really important. The most important thing about a blog, though, is once you write it, you need to share it and let people know about it. And so that's where LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook really come into it, because that's where the masses of people are. So taking the blog, sharing it on LinkedIn groups, sharing it on Facebook, you know, tweeting it out, that's a good way to start getting a following, getting people to read it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like to write, then videos are another great way to create content. I went to a conference a couple weeks ago. Everyone was talking about videos as the new well, it's not really that new, but as the way to really create content in social media these days.
Right.
And the thing is about videos is that unless it's going to be like an actual course that you're teaching, they need to be short. Something like between 30 yes. seconds and 2 minutes seems to be the general consensus on how long they should be. And then YouTube is the second largest search engine after Google. So just by putting your video on YouTube, it's just helping you to become more accessible via the internet. So mm-hmm. potential client.
And that's something, yes, we're definitely seeing growth in that. We introduced new media services last fall. And, of course, mm-hmm. there's examples of those on our collaborative and advisors, trusted advisor websites. But we are seeing a lot of growth in audio, but especially in some of the video work as well. And again, there's examples out there. There's different forms it can take, be it just directly of you sitting being interviewed or by the automated PowerPoint approach, which are filmed, automated, almost look like, I don't want to say cartoons, but have transitions and everything like a PowerPoint, but it's a movie and it's fully automated and voiced over. So yes, lots of different applications for that and very increasingly powerful.
Yeah, I'm really seeing a big trend in the video, in videos right now. So I think that's going to be continue to be a trend for a while. The only downfall with videos is that there's no text involved in it, so that search engines can't really pick up what the content of the video is. So there's that downside mm-hmm. of it. But other than that, I think it's a great medium. Podcasts, obviously, you're probably more familiar with podcasts than I am. I don't work with a lot of clients who do podcasts, but again, another great medium to get your message out there. But the important thing is to remember when you're doing any of this, though, is to educate and not sell. Educate. So many times I see when I start talking to a client about doing a video, the first thing they always do is come up with a video about how they're different and, you know, basically their sales pitch, which is fine. I think that's great for maybe your homepage. But if you're using it for social media, you really need to have educational content that people see value in because mm-hmm. they're not going to listen to your sales pitch week after week after week.
Right.
So you can integrate it in there in a subtle way. You want to make sure that you're educating.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good thought, a good idea for all forms of social media. They say the real foundation of success there, I guess, is really just, right, to be interactive, to be giving as much as you're getting and focused on the social nature of it.
Yep.
So
exactly. And so my new favorite site, which is sort of the up-and-coming one that everyone's talking about, is Pinterest.
I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Pinterest is a virtual pin board. So you can, like, if you think about a pin board at your house, if you wanted to put up images, you know, things you like or recipes, that's exactly what it is. You're literally just going and taking pictures and putting it up on this website. And it's immensely popular. It's the fastest social networking site to ever reach 10 million users as a standalone site. I think Google Plus probably was faster, but they have the Google backing behind it. So as far as a standalone social media site, it's the fastest growing to date. It's really popular with women. I can't remember what the statistic is, but it's something like 85% of the people on there are women. So if that's a target market of yours, it's a really good place to be. It's very simple. You just share images. It sounds overly simple, but that's what it is. But it also allows you to post videos on there. So let's say you were doing a series of videos on, you know, top 10 marketing tips. You could just do one, what they call a board, and again, think about it like a cork board at your house, one board where you just put these 10 videos on there, and then people would be able to follow it, comment, share it, and then repost it. And then you could do a different board, let's say, for your top 10 book picks that you really like for, you know, let's say the top 10 retirement books for baby boomers. You know, you could do a board like that. So it's a way to educate and share information again in a social way, and it's still up and coming, but I think that we're going to see a lot of people using it for marketing purposes. Already we've seen some of the furniture companies, Whole Foods is using it. They're sharing recipes. So there are a lot of companies out there marketing on it already. So I think it's just going to keep growing. So that's the one to look out for, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I just signed up the other day, and I haven't haven't played with it at all, but now you've motivated me to move forward and become a Pinterest. So it looks...
Yeah.
It does,
the men that I meet that are on there, they don't really understand it so much, but the women just love it. So.
Well, actually,
I guess we're more visual.
Yeah, well, I'm the cook in our house, actually, so I'm the chef. So the whole bulletin board, putting up recipes. You're totally hitting my hot buttons here.
Okay, good. Well, then you'll start being on Pinterest. I'll have to follow you.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to get my latest souffle, yes, go to Pinterest. So, yeah, and just I want to touch base again there on podcasting. You brought that up, and I do want to add there, we have taken this up over the past couple of months, and we're having a great time with it. So I will mention a website called The Audacity to Podcast, theaudacitytopodcast.com, and the podcaster there is a guy named Daniel Lewis, and I have to say, he is a podcast geek. I mean, you will learn everything you need to learn about podcasting and the technology around it. The software he uses is called Audacity. That's where the Audacity in the podcast name comes from. We use something different here. We use a software called Pro Tools. But the podcast series is very good. You can learn from soup to nuts everything about podcasting, optimizing your site for it, what software to use, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not going to go into that here, but the audacitytopodcast.com is a good place for that. And the other ones we've talked about, I think it's pretty self-evident what the websites are, Facebook.com, LinkedIn.com, YouTube, SlideShare.com. So that's all pretty much cut and dried. Is there any way for a given industry, a given business in a given industry to determine the best avenues for that industry? Do you find niche players per industry for social media?
I don't think it's so much about industry as about who your target market is and think about where they are. You know, if you're going after professional attorneys, let's say, or just executives of firms, you know, probably LinkedIn is going to be your best bet. If you're going after women who are stay-at-home moms, then probably Pinterest might be a good place and Facebook. If you're going after grandparent types, I would say Facebook is a good place to be. We haven't talked a lot about Google+, but if you're going after technology savvy people, then Google+ is most likely where they're going to be.
Why is that?
Google+, well, anything that has to do with Google tends to attract more technology savvy group. I think it's going to be a while before the mass market adopts it, and mostly because it took them so long to get on Facebook. You know, I think about my aunts and uncles, and they're on Facebook now, but it took them years to get on there. So the chance of them moving over to Google+ anytime soon is slim to none. So I think, unfortunately, Google, they just are a little bit late to the show. So to get that mass market to move over is going to take years if it's going to happen at all. So the people that are on Google+ are more the cutting edge people of technology that really enjoy social media and like it. It's not just the average person. So look at your target market and figure out where they are, because that's where you need to be.
Okay. That dovetails into the next question, which certainly we hear a lot, and I've often asked myself the same question, which is, how the heck can you tell if you're really being effective? So how do you set goals and metrics? How do you determine ROI? What, you know, when you're going to the boss and saying, I want $10,000 for a Facebook effort, LinkedIn, How can you justify it or say that I can come back to you, boss, with these kinds of metrics?
So that's a difficult question, and it's a question I get quite a bit. And, you know, my clients are in a relationship-building business, so it makes it even a little bit more difficult, because the success that they see is more around the activities that result from social media. So I have clients who have been quoted because of their expertise in a certain market that they've been able to highlight through social media. I've had clients get speaking engagements. I have clients that they just use social media as a way to nurture their existing relationships, and then referrals come from that. But a lot of the people that are really successful in social media, at least in the advisory world, will tell you they can't really give you firm numbers about how well it's doing. It's just sort of a feeling they get, and that doesn't really help a lot of firms. You know, they don't like that. They want to know the firm number, you know, the hard, solid numbers. Facebook has metrics where it'll tell you how many people talked about your business, how many people liked your page. So there's those kind of metrics out there that you can get. But if you're in a relationship-based business, it really is difficult to measure that. All you're really measuring are things like how many people retweeted, how many people liked your content. That's a question I really don't I don't like to answer. Okay. What's your answer?
I can't hear you. Wait a minute. We have some static here. Well, actually, there's the only thing. You're right. It is difficult. I guess what the gurus would tell you, and I'll I actually was going to talk about HubSpot a little bit later on. They have a whole range of tools for answering that question. They're at HubSpot.com, and so they, again, help companies across many industries get the whole search engine optimization and social media questions answered. But you can, for instance, put the code for Google Analytics, into the different pages of your website. And you could do some testing, so to speak, where you post, for instance, an event on Facebook, post an event in LinkedIn or, you know, something else, and track back to the landing page, which you can track through Google Analytics, where those leads came from. Where, you know, where did somebody come from to come into your website landing pages? So there are some ways like that to track it. I know HubSpot is they are huge fans of and users of Google Analytics for their customers. So I think there's another service called Quantcast, which actually costs a good bit of money, but it too can track where users are coming from, where people are coming from to your website. So it does give you more hard and fast information about things like your social media activities. But it is
right.
Like,
yeah, I find that most of the, like you said, the metrics are around activity, but when it comes to actually measuring what that turns into as far as business, that gets to be a little more complicated.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say about that is that HubSpot would tell you, and I believe that they can do it to some degree, that they will help you set up a series of pages, a series of activities through your website that lead to a conversion. So they can track it through to conversion. Of course, this is, again, it's dependent on the industry you're in. For a service industry, for advisors, it's a little bit harder than if you're selling a widget and you can see somebody actually buy something off of your website. So a little bit harder with a service kind of industry. It's more about, from what I can see, is just the brand awareness, the awareness of you as a service provider.
Yes, I think that's correct. If you are selling a product, social media is much easier to measure because of what you said, the inbound lead generation tool. But if you're in a service-based business, it becomes more difficult. But yes, there are tools out there to help you measure that.
And then, of course, the other issue around budgeting and ROI is your cost, which comes often from the personnel. And the personnel time you have to put into play here to make it happen. So is there any thoughts you share with your clients about personnel requirements to manage social media, what people should expect in terms of hours per week to adequately spend on this and get it going?
I talk to them about what's realistic for their business. If they're going to be doing videos, I try to get them to do like a whole quarter's worth of videos at one time, because it's much easier to get them sit down for 5 hours and do all the videos at once than to get them to do it every week. So we try to group it like that. Same with blogs. You know, I talk to clients about, if you're going to do a blog, really try to do it at least weekly. Some people, depending, again, on your industry, maybe you should be doing it every day. But for my clients, that's not realistic. So I try to get them to do it at least weekly. Again, same with videos. Like, if you can post content on a weekly basis, I think you're going to at least be involved in it enough where you'll see some results. But you also have to be posting things on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. So I would say a minimum of an hour a day you need to be spending doing that. And getting an intern isn't necessarily the best option. Everyone thinks, oh, I'll just get an intern and they can do it. You really do have to have somebody who's really thinking through the whole strategy and the process to do it. And not that an intern can't do that, but you need to find the right intern if you are going to do
right.
it.
somebody who's just come out of in the investment industry, of an investment planning curriculum or something, that at least can talk the talk a little bit, right? So yeah, that's a hard one. Or another approach, which we've seen work, is to, whether it's you, Kristen, or us in our firm, is to interview somebody. So the whole onus on actually producing copy and producing the thoughts for something in video or audio can come more naturally when you're interviewed.
Well, the other thing you can do is just to get guest bloggers, ask people to write for you. I mean, that's a great way to get content, and it's a good way to develop relationships with partners. It's a really easy way. And if you don't have time to be on social media, you know, an hour every day, you can use tools like Hootsuite to schedule out whatever posts that you want to share during the week. So you could just spend more time, let's say, on a Monday, strategizing and laying out what you want to do for the whole week, and then just use a site like Hootsuite to schedule it all, make sure it goes to all the social media sites.
Yep, very good.
So you can be smart about it.
And that was going to be my next question, which is, in general, and I know there's a whole range of software programs for Twitter, for instance, but what kind of social media software or systems are there to help folks be more efficient with all this?
I like Hootsuite because you can post to the multiple sites at once. It also will show you analytics behind it. One that I've been using lately that a client of mine actually introduced me to is called Buffer, and it allows you just to post any article or anything that you want to post, and then it'll just figure out what time to post it for you. So you don't have to think about it too much. It'll just do it for you. So if you have like five articles that you want to share all at once, you could put it on Buffer, and then it'll just send it throughout, you know, the next couple of days, how it sees fit.
Have to check that one out. That sounds interesting. One that I use, I guess I just use it by virtue of being a constant contact customer, and constant contact along with iContact are two of the biggest email marketing systems. And we get a lot of our email newsletters and other offers and everything out through that to a big list of contacts. But they have a little service called Nutshell, and Nutshell lets you tie in all of your different social media sites that you use, and you can post to it, and it gets it all out to all the other sites. And whenever you, for instance, send an email blast out, it'll post it and send out a Twitter link. And so that's just something quite effective for those of you who are constant contact users.
Right. Most of the email marketing systems out there now will integrate with social media, where you can just click, check the boxes, and it'll send it to Twitter and Facebook at the very least.
Yeah. I love the integration, and it's the trend is our friend on that. So and then aside from software, are there any other good websites or other tools for learning about this in general that folks could go to that you're aware of?
Well, the two sites that I go to stay on top of it, one, HubSpot. I'm a big fan of them as well, and they have great webinars, and they have really good resources and white papers out there that can help you learn about social media. The other one is Mashable. Mashable focuses a lot on social media, and so they're always posting information about the trends and how to use the different social media sites. So Facebook has made some big changes lately, so they've been writing about that. They've been writing about Pinterest, you know, and the popularity there. So they're really one of the best sites to get that information and to learn more about social media. So those are the two that I really follow.
I'll have to check out Mashable myself. I haven't been out to that one. I do go to HubSpot, and I'll suggest a couple of free things that HubSpot does that really helped us. They have actually two different websites or two different parts of their website that lets you grade your website on marketing, so the things you're doing around marketing, and a separate one about your website in general. So one is called HubSpot Marketing Grader, which is at marketing.grader.com, and then Website Grader, which is at search website grader, which I think is at grader.com. And then they actually have one that I just saw the other day called Search Grader, which rates you on how searchable you are. So if you go to HubSpot, rather than try to follow my fumbling over website URLs here, if you just go to HubSpot.com and look for Marketing Grader and Website Grader, it is just a treasure trove of information about how well you're doing with your website, both for marketing purposes and for search engine optimization purposes. So really, and then gives you actionable information as to how to get some things fixed.
Yeah, those are both great sites. I haven't spent a lot of time on them, but I have been on them in the past to look at the information that they give you.
So anything else about social media that we haven't touched on that you think is really important for folks to know?
I think we've covered basics and, you know, most of it. It's one of those things where you just really have to be actively involved to see any results from it. Throwing up a Facebook business page or a LinkedIn profile isn't going to do a lot on its own. So you just need to be involved on a regular basis and just focus on educating and developing relationships.
So Kristen, tell everyone how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, you can visit my website. It's wealthmanagementmarketing.net. We just launched a new website about a week ago, actually. And I have a blog on there, which has information about marketing, mostly for financial advisors, but it really applies to any business. So we have a blog, and we are working on some new tools as well. So I invite you to check out our website.
Well, we really, really, really appreciate your time here today. Like I said at the outset, we really admire the work you've done in marketing in general, and maybe we'll have you back at some point to talk about some of the other tactics. Of course, social media is just one step and one aspect of a wide range of marketing communication and marketing tactics that people should be looking at and taking action on. And you're very good at doing all of that kind of work. So we really applaud your work in this area. Of course, you can always reach us at www.the-collaborative.com or advisorstrustedadvisor.com. We again thank Kristen Luke of Wealth Management Marketing for being with us today. And until next time, keep on collaborating.